This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold, V to the Victoria, producer of the program. Look, I get it. You might be listening in Asheville or in Wilmington and not give a rat's rump what the Durham Bulls did or who they played. I think they played the Gwinnett Stripers. But anytime we have an opportunity to play Patrick Kinas, who is a freaking star, we're going to do it.
Yes.
Speaking of stars, just hang on one second. We had College Game Day in Boone, North Carolina this week. App State coming off the big win at Texas A&M, something the University of Miami could not pull off. App State feeling great. Yeah, okay, Troy, sneaky, yeah, Sun Belt. It needed this to pull it out.
See how many Troy rushes here. They have everybody back to try to knock one down. Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggled.
Oh, my God! He got it!
Yes, sir!
Oh, my gosh!
Yes, sir! What a play!
Deflected back into the arms of Christian Horde. They storm the field. App State wins on Miracle on the Mountain, part two. Final score, App State 32, Troy 28. It is great to be around here.
Woo! All of the screaming. I'm going to read the transcript here in a second. Adam Witten is the voice, and I say that I have no idea if he has one left. The voice of the Mountaineers, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Unbelievable, my friend. I want to just read the transcript to you before we actually start talking about this. I believe it was touchdown, miracle part two. Did I get that right? Where did Adam go? Does he have a voice left? How are you, man?
I think Twitter closed captioning had Barack Obama on there. I don't know if you saw that. That I think was my favorite thing that I saw that was sent to me over the weekend, was that it tried to transcribe it as Barack Obama. But yeah, if you enjoy nonsensical screaming, then you you love the call. But
that was fantastic.
Adam, I saved the last vestiges of my voice for you. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, that was just absolutely ridiculous. All right, so actual football part of this, when Troy opted to run out of the end zone with 25 seconds left or 22 seconds left, whatever it was, did anybody go, what are they doing? Just punt the ball.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the many things that John Summerall, the head coach of Troy, is going to replay in his mind following that game. I didn't have as much of an issue with that particular call as I did what happened after that. Troy's at their own 6-yard line. They're punting likely out of their own end zone or close to it in that situation. So they're trying to do what they thought was the safest play, which was run back into the end zone, try to take as much time off the clock as you can, and then eventually fall down, which is what their quarterback did, leaving them about 20 seconds remaining. The issue that I had was, that I thought was peculiar, was they squib kicked it from the 20-yard line. You know, when you take a safety kick from the 20 instead of the 35, they squib kicked it. The ball takes a nice high hop, lands into the arms of one of our running backs, and he's able to return it up past the 40-yard line with still time to run a few plays.
Yeah.
And that to me was the bizarre play to me, because App had a few cracks to try to throw the ball and get into range to kick a 50 to 58-yard field goal. And they actually dropped a pass on third down toward the sideline that would have given them a shot at about a 58-yard field goal as time expired. Passes dropped, and so they had to opt for the Hail Mary, and we know what happened there. But yeah, kind of going back through the decision-making there, the squib kick after the safety was the one where I kind of tilted my head a little bit.
Right, and even if they kick it deep, when you're kicking from the 20, you're just inviting something close to midfield, and I would say that maybe Troy should watch film because you guys drove and scored in, what, two plays against North Carolina?
Like, it was very similar. The first play that they ran after the squib kick was, I believe, the same play that set up the last touchdown against North Carolina.
Yeah. I would run that play a lot. That play looked effective to me. Adam Witten is the voice of the Mountaineers, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. All right, walk me through the day. Now, I think it was almost predictable that whether it was game day or not, there was has to be some sort of a come down after winning in College Station. But walk me through the day, the energy, the atmosphere as College game day is there and everything that means and all the attention and the cameras and ESPN is on campus for, 2 hours on TV and whatever it is in halftime of other games. What was that like?
Yeah, so it's really kind of the combination, Adam, of College game day coming to town, but then also still coming into the aftermath of the Texas A&M win. Because even if College game day wasn't arriving in Boone, the attention still would have been sky high. And so when I think you combine leading up to game day, which, the planning for that really starts Saturday night when you get the word and you start figuring out meetings and site visits and all the different things and all the different media obligations and operations people, marketing people, everybody's involved in that. But then the football team and the players, they're all getting interview requests and they're dealing with a lot of attention just from beating Texas A&M, not even factoring in the fact that College game day was coming in. So all of that converging together over the course of the last 7 days really just really made it quite a spectacle even before Saturday. Plus, you combine the fact that, this is not an excuse, but I talked to a lot of people last Monday just about the travel difficulties in getting back from A&M. Everybody was operating on little to no sleep because of the challenges we had getting back from College Station. So it was truly a blur over the last 7 days. Now, the scene on game day, I went up on Friday. I went to practice, and, I took two of my kids with me because that was just kind of a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing with game day on your campus at App State. Yep. And so, we went around, we saw the set, we saw tons of students camping out. Everybody was camping out to get a great spot, up as close as they could to be on TV for College game day. And then I got over there about 8:15 Saturday morning, and Sanford Mall, that's a pretty big area of campus, which is why they held it there, because they knew that was the space where they could bring in the most amount of people. Mm-hmm. You're standing there and you feel like you're standing them only in like a major concert. You're shoulder to shoulder with people no matter where you're standing. I'm way back away from all the students, but I'm standing around with like old college buddies of mine. I found a bunch of old friends from college that I'm just standing with, and some of us had our kids with us, and we're all just shoulder to shoulder crunched together. It's thousands and thousands of people, and it was one of the most amazing spectacles I've ever seen on campus. The Luke Combs concert last year at Kid Brewer, and this were the biggest non-football game, at least, related events that I can ever recall. It was, even without the game, that was truly something special and just made your jaw drop.
Did we know, we're actually going to have to say goodbye here in a second, but how did Luke do in his picks?
Well, he picked App. Now, he thought App was going to win big, so I guess he was right. I think the one that he nailed was he was the only one that picked Oregon over BYU, so he did pretty well on that one.
Okay, well, that's good. It was just it's awesome to have him able to do it, and what an unbelievable finish. Good luck, by the way, against James Madison on Saturday.
Can we get like a nice 31-10 game, maybe, and no drama in this one? That would be nice,
dude. JMU's allowed 14 points and scored over 100 in two games. I don't care who they play.
I'm not expecting that, but because I expect another tight game. JMU is really good, and they can't compete for championships this year because they're in a transition year. So this game means everything for them.
And who's
they better be ready?
Who's better than the Sun Belt, by the way? Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
I don't know. I mean, the SEC really got just a couple of teams and then everybody else. So, the South Alabama almost knocked off UCLA, ODU over Virginia.
Marshall.
Sunbelt's riding high still.
Marshall goes to Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Wins in South Bend. Yeah, this is something that we have known. The league plays great football. All right, Adam Witten, I thank you very much for letting me bother you. You sound pretty good for somebody who was screaming at the top of his lungs for a while.
Hey, man, I mustered it all up just to talk to you today. Thanks for having me.
You're a gentleman. All right, thank you very much. Your opportunity right now to give us your hot take after week two of the NFL, even though there's still two more games tonight, and week three of the college football season. I think I asked you this last week, Victoria. Do we have musical accompaniment for this?
Yes, we do.
I thought I heard it in the background. There we go. So, all right, let's give your Monday hot take, week two, week three hot takes. And I will start with this, and we can discuss this if you will. And then we're going to go to calls, 919-860-5326. I want this to be wrong, but I don't think it is. State's offense, not nearly good enough to take advantage of this season. Not nearly good enough. Remember at the beginning of the season? Oh, yeah, Clemson October 1st. But after that, Florida State's coming to town the following week. Not that FSU's great, but they certainly don't look like a train wreck. And then you're going to Syracuse, who, I don't know, Syracuse looks pretty good to me. I have other hot takes about ACC football. We'll get to those. So that is my hot take. NC State's offense, not nearly good enough to take advantage of this season, and that is disappointing. 919-860-5326. If you have hot takes, let's go. Mike from Siler City, what up?
Okay, Adam, love your show.
Thank you.
I am a diehard Wolfpack fan, but my hot take's about the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
That David Tepper, notably one of the wealthiest owners in the NFL, here's what he needs to do. He needs to call Nebraska. All right, we're going to work out a trade here. I'm going to trade you Matt Rule to Nebraska, okay, and you're going to give me a little money. We're going to keep this kind of hush-hush how we need to do it. And then I'm going to take the money I get from Nebraska with some of my own money, load up the Brinks truck, and I'm going to find Sean Payton somewhere, somehow, and I'm going to try to get Sean Payton to Charlotte. That's my take on the Panthers.
All right, you don't need to make a trade. You can just put Matt Rule in the back of a car and drive him to Lincoln. You don't need Nebraska to pay you anything. You're just capable of doing that.
Tepper don't need the money, but that would make it kind of interesting. And one last thing before I go, did Miami and the Ravens, did they play make it, take it like we used to play in basketball when we were kids? Did the Ravens not get the ball after every time the Dolphins scored? What happened? I haven't heard much talk about that part of the game.
See, this is why I said this to Will earlier, Mike, in that the Ravens' offense was really good in the first half. It wasn't that good in the second half. They did get 10 points. They got a touchdown in the third quarter that made it 35-14. And they kicked a field goal after it was tied at 35. But the real problem is that there were three and outs in there, and Miami's defense got the Ravens off the field. So it enabled that big comeback. So those types, as much as I like the Ravens and I like Lamar Jackson, now I
love him.
Who knows, you know, how this whole thing happens, but both things had to happen in order for the Dolphins to come back in the game. The Ravens had to cooperate somewhat in the fourth quarter offensively. But that was a defensive breakdown. And look, if people are Dolphins fans, that's great. You should feel great about being 2-0. You should feel great about all the weapons that they went and got for Tua and their offense. I still don't believe they're entirely bought in to Tua Tagovailoa, but they are faking it really well.
Very good.
All right, man. Take care, Mike.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, 860-5-FAN, 860-5326. Sean and Garner, my man, what's going on, Sean?
Hey, Adam, how you doing, man?
Good. What's up?
Good. I'd love to hear your take on Jeff Collins, Georgia Tech head coach, being the one of the worst coaches in the country right now, and your take on the rumors about Deion Sanders potentially being the next Georgia Tech head coach and how that would shake up the landscape.
All right.
The ACC
so this is not you're not playing by the rules here though, because if this is about your hot takes.
Well, my hot take would be Deion Sanders would shake up the ACC if he became the Georgia Tech head coach.
Well, he wanted the Florida State job badly, very badly. Here's the thing about Deion. Because he's, like, I don't know what your opinion of Deion was as a broadcaster. I was not a fan. To me, he was a step up from Michael Irvin as a broadcaster, which is to say nowhere near a Ryan Clark or a Dominique Foxworth in terms of smart analysis. But Deion Sanders, I think, is a pretty good football coach. And, like, he wanted the FSU job, but they were never giving it to him, in spite of him being a legend there. If he got the Georgia Tech job, who knows? The problem with Georgia Tech, I don't believe, is the head coach. I believe it's Georgia Tech because they have challenges that might be too difficult for them to overcome unless you are willing to play a style like Paul Johnson did. So Paul Johnson got Georgia Tech good because it was a style that nobody wanted to play against. I mean, we can pretend it wasn't the wishbone, but it was the wishbone. And it was a 1970s, early 80s offense that worked well because it was so different. It's why it's difficult to play Navy or difficult to play Army when they're playing that style. As for Jeff Collins, real quick, my only problem with Jeff Collins, who I think has an impossible job, is that the clothes he wears are at least one, maybe two sizes too small. You've seen him, right?
That's great. Yep.
I mean, it's
bad look.
It, like, just wear, it just doesn't look like it fits. Like, is this old stuff? Like, come on. Like, you're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, the tight pants, the no socks. We've had, Paul Johnson had a better look.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know if it was better. He just looked more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
He looked like he slept in his clothes. I appreciate the call. 860-5-FAN, 860-5326. I like, because there were two things there. Jeff Collins, I don't know if he's a bad coach or not. I just think that he's in a situation where you can't possibly win. There are the academic, like, I don't know if this is still the case at Georgia Tech. I think it is. Like, all those kids have to take calculus as freshmen.
Wow.
I didn't take calculus.
No.
I would have failed calculus.
I think I did, but I don't know what a level. I don't feel a freshman. I don't think it was freshman level.
I mean, that's like their freshman math.
Yeah.
It's like, get out of here. So it's a very, very difficult thing. The academic requirements at Georgia Tech are real. And like they are at a lot of other places, are real, and it's hard. It's why you see these schools struggle. By the way, Northwestern got beat badly at home.
Uh-oh.
Way to devalue by somebody they shouldn't have lost to. Way to devalue the Duke win. So, look, I think Georgia Tech's just a very difficult job. But I have more hot takes. 919-860-5326. Matt Rhule will not be the first NFL head coach fired.
Oh.
He will not. Now, it is very obvious that Matt Rhule is going to be fired. Whether he makes it through year three or not, I don't know. But he will not be the head coach for a fourth year.
Please.
No way. No way. And the weird thing about it is that I think Matt Rhule is, he's almost an anti-football coach. He doesn't embody any of the arrogance or of the jerk tendencies of football coaches. He has none of that. And the times that I have spoken with him, he just comes off as such a down-to-earth, good human being. There's nothing football coachy about Matt Rhule.
Right. It's good for everything else, but not coaching NFL teams.
And maybe that's the problem.
Yes.
Maybe you need to be that guy in order to forget about coaching in the NFL. He doesn't, like, there are college coaches that have serious jerk tendencies, and I am so much smarter than all of you people. Like, that's what coaches do in football. Matt doesn't have any of that. Maybe that's what's missing, because that team routinely looks unprepared. So, like, through 2 weeks, I haven't seen Matt Rhule screw anything up, but I also haven't seen the football team look any better. So this is now year three. We're two games into year three. And while we did waste one timeout in the first half, I just thought that was trying to keep on brand.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't really botched anything other than they just look like the same team that we have seen. But I don't think he'll be the first coach fired. I think we might be looking to Indianapolis for that. You cannot look that bad against the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though it's in Jacksonville. You brought in Matt Ryan to take advantage of your team. Carson Wentz was terrible. Your handpicked coach, by the way. Your handpicked quarterback, by the way, Frank Reich. We brought in Carson Wentz for you. You stunk.
Shut out.
Right. Shut out. And just completely dominated by Jacksonville, who might actually have something in that division. That is a division. When we talked to Will a couple of weeks ago, asked him about a worst to first, right? The Eagles finished, tied for third in the division. Trying to remember which team finished third. Maybe it was Broncos. I don't remember. But he offered that Jacksonville could win that division because, let's be honest, Houston, not good. The Colts, as it turns out, not good. And the Titans aren't great either.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
Maybe Jacksonville can get to 9 wins, and maybe 9-8 will be enough in that division.
Interesting.
There will be one 9-win team to make the playoffs, whether it's a wild card or a division winner, I don't know. There was actually a rumor that Mike Vrabel's job was on the line. But Frank Reich.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
I think Arthur Smith in Atlanta, and depending how, like, that win yesterday was huge for Arizona, because I mean, they were getting absolutely, they were having it handed to them by
Creamed.
The Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
They lose that game and go 0-2, and now everybody's going, you know what, the whole Cliff Kingsbury thing, it's like, it's cute and all, but ultimately cute doesn't win. But Kyler Murray, the greatest analogy, I read this. This is not mine. I forget who it was. Somebody said that Kyler Murray looks like the toddler after he runs around like a toddler who just stole his parents' cell phone.
Oh.
Because he's just so random.
Yes.
He's everywhere.
Yes.
I still don't think he's a great quarterback, but man.
I know. He escaped a tackle last night that I'm still trying to figure out how.
Those plays are just absolutely amazing. Yeah. All right. Herman Edwards got fired. I got two more hot takes. Herman Edwards got fired as head coach at Arizona State. The wrong person got fired there. The person who should be fired is the person who hired Herman Edwards. No offense. I like Herman Edwards. I think you could hire him for an NFL coaching job and get a competent, decent, middle-of-the-road head football coach. But when you hire a guy who has zero college experience, doesn't know the rules, doesn't understand what you can and cannot do, can and cannot say in recruiting, you are begging to lose. And again, it's not like you hired Bill Belichick. You hired a good middle-of-the-road NFL quarterback. That was always going to end the way it ended. So whoever hired him, that's the person that needs to be fired. And finally, 49ers got better yesterday, at least in the short term. In the short term, the 49ers are better today than they were before yesterday started. No offense to Trey Lance. Now, that doesn't mean that Lance isn't going to be good. I do believe that Kyle Shanahan was forcing it. They wanted Lance to play, and they were going to deal with the problems that Trey Lance had. But they are probably a better football team with just the steadiness, even though he ain't great, of Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's comfort.
It is. He's mac and cheese, isn't it?
It is.
Jimmy Garoppolo is mac and cheese. It's not that good for you.
No.
It's sort of limited. You got to put stuff in it.
But it makes you feel warm and fuzzy
inside.
It does.
It's especially on a cold day.
Yeah.
That's what Jimmy Garoppolo is. He is mac and cheese.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. There's my hot take. Thanks for your contribution. All right. We have reached the half.
And now your halftime entertainment.
All right, well, we did have UFC this weekend, but I'm not talking about what happened this weekend during some UFC fights. Vegas 60. No. We had a big announcement.
Oh, did we?
Jose Aldo is someone who has been fighting for a very long time, and he announced his retirement this weekend, which was so sad for a lot of people because he was originally planning to have... He had one more fight in his contract. He got out of that one, but it was going to be a banger, and they're not having it anymore. His last fight was a defeat, but after 2005... He went 18 straight wins without losing. So he was a bad dude. He was really great. He decided to retire when his son was born this weekend. So I can't blame him. He finishes his career 31-8-0 at age 36. Nobody wants to be doing this past 30.
31-8-0.
Yep.
God.
I know. It's a lot of fighting. And he's 36. So
eight
just
is
imagine.
A lot of losing, too, actually. I mean, seriously, in terms of great fighters.
Right.
Eight losses is a lot.
Yeah.
Great fighters don't lose a lot.
No, that's true. But
he
reached
in the face a lot.
He reached 36, and I can't blame him. Once you reach, I would say, 30, you don't bounce back as quick. So
no.
I don't know. But good for Jose. Bad for us because he was a great entertainer. But congratulations to him. All right. Now, like we were talking about with football, something we usually get when we go see a football game, beer. Where do you think is the most expensive cities, teams to get beer? The most expensive.
Okay, like in a stadium?
Yep.
Most expensive, it's not at PNC Arena?
They didn't make it.
I'm not kidding.
No, they didn't make it,
really?
Surprisingly
okay.
enough.
Let's see, most expensive city for beer, stadium for beer, Dallas.
Well, you would think, but it's actually not. The most expensive is Philadelphia. The Eagles, it's nearly $15 for 16 ounces of beer. I know.
What beer is
It doesn't specify which kind, so I'm wondering
ounces.
If these are like PBRs or if IPAs, because that's a big, yeah. I will say that's like Coastal Credit Union prices. Those are expensive down there,
yeah.
too. That's pricey.
My gosh.
I know.
But at least, first of all, I keep telling people this. If you are buying a $9 can of Bud Light, I'm not knocking Bud Light. This is not about that. If you are buying a $9 can of that or a $10 can of whatever,
yeah,
you know you can get a Storm Brew for $5.
Exactly.
Right? And this just in, I'm not saying it's the same, but it's the same.
It's the same. Yeah, it still gets you there. It's fine.
It's the same.
Right. So, and when you're having a good time, just like, save your money.
Please, people.
Buy two. I know. Yeah. So the Eagles is the most, but then also L.A. teams like the Rams, the Chargers, they're a close second with the Raiders.
Course.
Yeah, of course. California, yeah, that whole side.
But they're not selling beer. They're selling wine.
Exactly.
It's a Chardonnay.
Out. You have to have your pinkies out the whole time you drink
it's a Chardonnay there.
On the other end, though, the cheapest places, Detroit Lions, Atlanta Falcons, and the Jets.
Of course.
All have cheaper beer.
The Lions, the Falcons, and the Jets?
Yes. And the Cincinnati Bengals all have beer under $7.
Nice.
So, there you go. We know where to go
nice.
Now.
But,
although like, that means you have to go there.
For the Jets, it's probably a Schaefer.
Yeah. So just in case you're heading that way, that's where you get cheap beer. All right. Now, with the seasons changing, you might be changing your attire, too. And for anyone worried about their in-style fashion these days, I know you worry about this, Adam.
I do. I absolutely do.
Some fashionistas, I don't know who these people are, but they've decided that there are 5 outdated fashion rules that you can now ignore. I guess in the past, these were like no-nos.
Oh, please. I'm begging for one of them.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it out loud. Let's see.
I want to see if any of these apply to you. Okay. Denim on denim is the first one.
No, that wasn't one.
No.
Well, that's okay now?
Apparently.
Get out. This.
I know. I don't say that I agree with these, yeah. But yeah, I was reading this list and I like...
What is this, 1968?
Or is it 1999 with like Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake?
Right.
They're matching. It was gross. Okay, the next one. Having socks, belts, and your shoes all match.
Socks and belt and shoes?
Yeah. Apparently that was a bad thing.
Socks and belt is okay. Socks
yeah.
and
I don't know why.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, you don't need
bad.
It, but yeah, I don't think it's a faux pas either way. Okay,
here you go. This is a dad one,
right?
Socks with sandals.
No good. My kid, but all my kid and his friends all wear socks with Crocs or slides.
See, I think this is why it's coming back.
They all wear
because
that to school.
That. Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Oh.
Every single one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I'm not around school, so I don't see what's trending, but I know everything comes back. However, Crocs wasn't a thing.
Every 13-year-old wears, it's a uniform.
Oh, wow.
At this point, it's just a uniform.
Might as well. It's a staple. The next one, hats indoors.
Yeah.
I think some people would still think that's rude, though. That may be a little iffy.
I just think hats in general are overrated.
True, unless you're outside and you need to,
Unless you're trying to keep the sun off your face.
Right, their purpose.
I just don't get it.
No, I don't understand it. Okay.
It's also not good for your hair.
That's true. Here's the last one. Mixing prints, like stripes and dots.
Well, that's okay now?
Apparently so, that's okay.
Whatever.
I don't know, that's
like,
a lot.
It all depends on how bold... Like me, the fashion expert here. Depends on how bold the stripes and the dots are. Like big dots, big stripes,
right.
Nah. But like little fine dots, like from afar, which it looks like they're not there. Yeah, that's
right.
Cool.
See,
that's all right.
I can get that. Now, this is what... So, I don't wear ties because I just don't. But some of these NFL analysts and commentators, I've noticed their outfits where they have suits that have patterns. Then the tie is different. How do you feel about that?
That's okay.
That's okay.
I think that's okay. I think that we're getting more bold with that. I don't really wear a lot of suits. I two things I wanted to hear that I didn't. One is white after Labor Day.
Why is that even a thing?
Right. Especially in the South. If it's hot in October, I can't wear white.
Right.
And I have a seersucker sport jacket that apparently I can't wear anymore.
Why?
Because it's after Labor Day.
That's
and that's summer.
you know what? Live your life.
That's just what I'm saying. I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. So does it have to stay in the plastic?
Right.
Like it's been for the since...
5 more months until it's...
Yeah.
No. See, do what you want. White goes with everything. I don't get the Labor Day thing, but no. So.
I have a seersucker that won't be worn.
There you go. Well, you know what? You be a rebel, Adam, and you just wear it.
No, the problem is that my wife doesn't let me leave the house.
Oh. Well, that's a different thing.
I need some documentation that it's acceptable now. And if I don't have that,
well,
I
just
can't,
make sure you leave the house when she's like at the grocery store or something, when she's running errands. Oh, sorry, I forgot. It's after Labor Day.
She won't let me. No. She won't let me. I think we have like a video surveillance system.
Yeah. Well,
get back in the house and change.
This is unacceptable.
She says it's a reflection on her.
Oh, okay.
How did you allow that to happen?
That's okay. I don't judge you. No one else will judge you.
It happens. it all happens.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.